Please remain standing for our call to worship. Respond to the bold reading. Arise and shine like the sun. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. The brightness of his presence will be with you.
Nations will be drawn to your light.
Come, let us worship our Lord, the King. Now join in the singing of hymn number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Be seated. Good morning. Welcome. I'm glad everyone's here. I brought a story today with me. It came from Sermons for Children. And it requires your participation. So it's called The Backward King. Today is Christ the King Sunday. And this story is called The Backward King. And what I need you to do is, when I hold my hand out like this, you say, "That's backwards." Let's practice that.
That's backwards.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Now we can hear the story. A long time ago, there lived a king. He was no ordinary king. He was a backward king. He was different from other kings because he did everything backward from the way other kings did them. From the very day he was born, you could tell that the king was going to be different. Most kings are usually born in a palace, but this king was born in a stable surrounded by donkeys, sheep, and cows. It wasn't a very big beginning for a king. In fact, very few people knew that a king had been born. Only a handful of shepherds and three wise men got the word that a king had been born. As the infant king grew into a man, he continued to be different from other kings. While most kings spent all of their time building up riches of silver, gold, and jewels, this king owned nothing at all.
That's backwards.
He chose to be a servant. He could often be found helping others. As time went on, people became very unhappy with their king because he just didn't act the way they thought a king should act. Instead of riding into town on a big white horse the way other kings usually did, their king rode into town on the back of a donkey. Was that the way for a king to act? You're right. And the people he chose to be his friends, his closest friends, were a bunch of smelly fishermen. And he could often be seen visiting with the poor and eating with sinners.
That's backwards.
Finally, the people decided they had put up with the king long enough. If he couldn't act the way the king should act, then they didn't want him to be their king anymore. They made a plan to have him arrested and thrown into prison.
That's backwards.
Their plan worked. When the day came for his trial, the king stood up before the people. Instead of shouting, "Hail to the king, long live the king," they shouted, "Crucify him. He is not our king. Crucify him."
That's backwards.
So they crucified the king. They nailed him to a cross. They put a crown made of thorns on his head. They poked him with sharp sticks and made fun of him. What a way for a king to die. After he was crucified, they took his body and put it in a borrowed tomb.
That's backwards.
Wait, that isn't the end of the story. Remember, this backward king was different. This king rose from the grave to live forever. Now, instead of being the backward king, he is the forever king. He is the king to anyone who chooses him to be their king. Oh, there are still some people who call him king backward. But those who know him don't call him that. They call him King Jesus. Jesus wants to be your king too. And if you choose him to be your king, you will live happily forever and forever after. It's a good story, isn't it? It's the story of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, today we crown your King and the Lord of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's a bulletin here for the children that says, King backwards.
That's funny.
Can you help pass those? Thank you. Did everybody get one?
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will rise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, said the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name of which I will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now we will hear a number from our choir.
Oh,
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for the time that we come together as a church and community. We lift up those that are in our bulletin, those that are suffering the loss of loved ones. During this holiday season, many people's hearts are saddened from past memories and losses. And we lift them up that you might comfort them. We ask that you be with those that are sick and those that are in need financially. We ask that we might be the hands and feet to help serve as Christ has served us. For it is Jesus Christ who taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 3003. How great is our God. Please stand. May be seated. For those that didn't know, that was out of the new worship hymn. This morning's reading comes out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. I'm reading out of the Common English Bible. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching, but the leaders sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is really the Christ sent from God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you really are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above his head was a notice of the formal charge against him. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." The words of God for the people of God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today is the last day of the Christian calendar. Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. And next Sunday is the beginning of a new Christian year, the first Sunday of Advent. The events of the crucifixion, as told by Luke, emphasize that Jesus' death was the fulfillment of prophecy. First, the soldiers cast lots for Jesus' garments. And second, the religious leaders scoffed and crucified Jesus, fulfilling Psalms 22. The religious leaders mocked Jesus with the appropriate religious language. "Let him save himself if he really is the Christ sent from God, the chosen one." Third, the soldiers mocked him by offering him vinegar, sour, cheap wine, so that their gestures fulfilled Psalms 69. The soldiers employed political language in their insults, calling Jesus the King of the Jews. In the insults of both the religious leaders and the soldiers, we find the implication that Jesus could not save himself. The gospel truth is that by not saving himself, by being the Lamb of God, by being the sacrifice for our sins, Jesus saved humankind. Jesus saved you and I. Another mocker, the criminal, decides Jesus as a false Messiah, and again implying that Jesus does not have the power to save. Thus, for a third time, Jesus' power to save is called into question. In Luke's narrative, the penitent criminal defended Jesus against the other criminal's insult. The penitent criminal turned to Jesus as the coming king. And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The criminal on the cross expressed the Christian hope of Christ coming in power. Jesus Christ as ruler of heaven and earth. Jesus is the Lord. As Jesus is crucified, Luke remembers how he died, sure of his fate, and with the power to promise salvation to another. Above all, we learn that Christ the King has the power to save. And Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." Accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and paradise is coming. Is it that simple? I ask myself, do I say it to save myself, or do I say it because I love God? Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. He came to show us the way, not to take away our crosses to bear. How am I at following his path? Today's message focuses on the first words Jesus spoke from the cross. I've used excerpts from the Lenten series by Edward Marquardt. Jesus begins his words from the cross, addressing not the women, nor the religious leaders, nor the other men on the cross, nor the gawking crowd below. Jesus did not look down at his tormentors, but up to God, and Jesus began his prayer. "Father," the first word from the cross is the word "Father." This first sentence from the cross is a prayer, and Jesus teaches us to pray. Already in our service today, we have used the Lord's Prayer, addressed our Father. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are adopted into the royal kingdom of God through the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' choice of the word "Father" reveals his closeness to God. The distinctiveness of Jesus' prayer life was to call God intimately by name, by the word "Father." One biblical scholar says that Jesus' whole life can be summarized by the one intimate word, "Father." Jesus was the first person in the Bible to use the familiar equivalent of "dad" or "daddy" to begin his prayer life. In our prayer lives, we are to address God closely and warmly as we would when talking to our parent in childhood. We are to pray intimately to God in all circumstances, especially when we are in pain. When the pain is the worst, that is when we often pray the most. Jesus did the same. When we are in our worst pain, we call out to God to help us handle this situation we are in. And the second word from the cross is the word forgive. Rather than calling on God to damn and punish those people below who were crucifying and killing him, Jesus' heart was full of compassion for them rather than rage. The normal thing was to swear and cuss and use foul language at his tormentors. But Jesus' heart was just the opposite. Jesus called out for God to forgive his tormentors rather than to punish them. Forgive people killing you. That's not easy. It's not easy to love our enemies and mean people. It's comparatively easy to forgive your friends during an argument, or forgive your parents for acting so ridiculous, or forgiving your children for doing stupid things. That kind of forgiveness is somewhat easy, but it is not easy to forgive your enemies and those people who kill you. That was not easy for Jesus, but that is what Jesus did from the cross. Jesus loved those that had him nailed to the cross. That is what is amazing. To love your enemies is a miracle from God. A translation of the word forgiveness is to let go. Jesus forgives our sins. Jesus lets go of our sins. The only way we as human beings ever become free in life is to let go. To let go of our past marriage, to let go of all the mistakes we have ever made. Then and only then, there are no exceptions. The only way to freedom is to let go of all the hatred and anger and all the wrongdoings I have done now and in the past, and all the wrongdoings I might do in the future. From the cross, God lets go of our sins. Jesus, looking up to God in his first word from the cross and asking God to forgive these people, to let go of their sins. The third word from the cross is the word them. Them refers to all the soldiers who have whipped and nailed him. Them refers to all the religious leaders who have falsely accused him and are really the culprits in the crucifixion of Jesus. Them refers to all the gawkers in the crowd who were just watching. Them refers to the disciples who had run away. And them refers to you and me. We often pray, Father, forgive me. For we're forever asking God to forgive us of the things we know we did wrong, for the things were right that we didn't do. We are forever asking God to forgive us for those things that we didn't really comprehend how stupid they were to do at the time. Father, forgive me is on my lips and in my heart all the time. We too are in need of God's forgiveness. So often we don't have time for God. We don't pray as we ought. We don't love as we could. We live a far too busy life, being too busy for God and love and spirituality. We are not the quality of Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls that we are called to be. And so we pray, Father, forgive us. Forgive them, but also forgive us. The them includes us. Father, forgive us, for we do not know what we do. The soldiers around the cross didn't really know that they were crucifying the very Son of God. The religious leaders did not really comprehend that they were plotting against the very presence of God. The gawkers did not realize that they were watching the most loving human being of all time being killed. They didn't get it. And likewise with us today. We don't get it. We don't feed the hungry of the world, and they die of starvation. While we all eat well. And we don't get it that we're killing Christ who live in these starving children. We don't visit the old folks in our neighborhoods and in nursing homes. People who are slowly dying of loneliness while we are too busy. We don't get it that we are neglecting Christ who lives in the bodies of our aging elders. It is not the sins of commission that really bother us. It is the sins of omission that really get to us. And we don't know what we are doing. We don't really comprehend what we are doing when we have little time for God. When we are too busy living our lives that we don't have a morsel of time for God. And so we cry out, Father, please forgive us, for we too don't really know what we are doing. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for you. Whether you are here in your pews or listening on the radio, God calls you to his presence, to know him personally, to come to his altar. Father, I adore you. I lay my life before you. Oh, how I love you. Jesus, I adore you. I lay my life before you. Oh, how I love you. Spirit, I adore you. I lay my life before you. I'll ask for the ushers to come forward. Gracious God, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us. We ask that this offering might be used, that others might get to know you and love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 73, O worship the King. Gracious Father, we lift up this congregation and ask them to go now in peace. Amen.